It is now time for As the Worm Turns, our weekly look at gardening with our friend Lance Swaggart from LaRue Creek. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good.
What'd you think of that weather report?
Well, thorough.
Uh-huh.
We'll see if it actually happens.
Oh, you don't believe?
really.
Okay. So I didn't get a chance to tell you, but we had a question from a listener.
Okay.
And so they have strawberries and harvesting them. And it appears that on the strawberries that are fairly ripe, they've been invaded by these fairly long, I should say an inch to two, they're long for their narrow thread-like millipede kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just, there were a lot of them within each strawberry. So we're wondering what those might be and what you would recommend to do to deal with them.
Yeah, I've seen them, and I actually don't know what they are. But it is like a millipede thing, and it's organic matter they're after, and you got this soft tissue strawberries laying on the ground. Pretty easy to eat.
Uh-huh, easy picking, so to speak.
Yeah, like if peaches or anything fruit falls on the ground and you leave it there, within a day or two it has those millipedes on there, or whatever they really are. And I don't know what to do. Lots of people, they might consider next year putting a plastic or some type of a barrier so that when the strawberries hit the ground or lay on the ground, they're not on the dirt. They're on a barrier.
Some kind of landscaping fabric or something?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think so.
You can think of anything she can do to salvage her crop this year?
Well, you can try sprinkling with diatomaceous earth and see if that helps.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and see if that will cut them down. I always use it for sow bugs just to stop them eating my seedlings, so it might work there too.
Okay.
Yeah. But like I said, I don't know what it is, but I've seen them.
Okay.
And but I don't have strawberries, so it's not that an issue here.
Right.
But anyway, so just let's see some things I've been harvesting here. I've been harvesting the dry beans.
Uh huh.
And been harvesting the seed crops and stuff. Celery seed is harvested. And I just cut the whole plants down and I'm going to let them dry out on a sheet. Spinach, the same thing. And lettuce, I've done the same thing. And then as the seed heads dry up, I hand-pick the carrot seeds and the parsley seeds.
And you have, if I recall right, you have a special sort of, well, it may or may not be special, but you don't necessarily take the entire head of the seed of, you get, for instance, on the carrots.
Yeah,
right. You do
are
pick.
You're susceptible to that.
Or what?
Well, you have the other ones. I don't. Let's put it that way. All those other ones, I don't care where I'm getting the seed from.
Okay.
And it probably does make a difference. I'll have to research that some more at some point. But the carrots definitely. If you pick the carrot seeds, the very big top, first big flower that comes up, that particular carrot flower if you take the seed from that, all you'll do is next year is get carrot flowers. You won't get carrots. Corresponds to top growth.
Okay, so you're talking about, so if you're looking at an individual carrot that's been planted to go to seed, there are several shoots that come off of one carrot?
Yeah.
And so if you are utilizing the seed from that central piece.
That top central flower, yeah.
Okay, then you're going to just get, you're not really going to get carrots.
Yeah, the next year when you plant those, you'll get, it'll look green and then it'll go to blooming and stuff like that. And what you want to do is more the side shoots and the lower down, and those seed clusters correspond to root growth, which is what you want in the carrot.
Okay, so within each carrot flower, as long as it's coming off the side shoots of the carrot, then you don't care about which part of the flower you're taking seeds?
Well, you usually take the two-thirds. I don't take the middle. Again, that's could possibly correspond to top growth, but I take I cut off the 2/3 of it.
Okay.
And save that for seed and just put the rest in the compost.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and let's see. This is time of year I start counting how many more times I have to do certain things. So.
Okay. Your own personal countdown?
Oh, yeah, the countdown. Like, I got it written down, 6 more times to mow. Okay. You know, sometime in early October I'll stop.
Uh-huh. Okay. So are you more reliable than the weather report? Is this will that be totally accurate, Lance?
Yes, that will be pretty accurate.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I just, the manure tea for the fall crop stuff, 3 more times. Yay.
Uh-huh.
You know. And then this is just about persistent. I've been telling people you have to be persistent. Well, you know, I'm still finding squash bug eggs, clusters of eggs, and the babies. So just stay on top of it, and at least if you keep them thinned out now, you won't have them next year, or you won't have them as much.
Okay. And then you also mentioned, I do recall, because squash bugs have been a topic on more than one occasion, it's also very important to clean up your garden in the fall.
In the fall. Clean it up so that, you know, the less stuff they have to winter over, the better.
Okay.
And then just a new disease, and I had to look it up. It's in the grapes, and it was, for me, it's a new disease for me. I've never seen it before, called dead arm.
Okay.
And it's reading on it a little bit more just so I can remember. It's actually a fungus. It enters the trunk or supporting arms through where you pruned it in the springtime.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's sort of funny they got here because I'm pretty isolated as far as other people growing grapes or stuff, so it must have come in the wind or something. I have no idea.
Right.
And anyways, it everything above the infection turns into a dead arm.
Okay.
And it's spores and stuff. So you have to cut it all out, all the infected branches. And one of the ways, not only do you see these lesions along the sides of the canes, the grapevine canes, but also the leaves get yellowing, and they either cup. They'll actually cup either down or up. It didn't seem to make a difference. And that's how you tell if you have infected plants.
Okay. And do you cut them out then immediately upon seeing them so that you prevent spreading,
I've cut out the really infected stuff that actually had the bad lesions that were probably going to affect more.
Okay.
And I'm just going to keep an eye on it because there's still grapes there, and I'm hoping that they can ripen. Otherwise, I'll have to, if it gets, that cane really gets infected, and I'll have to cut it out.
Okay.
And they said the sure way to get rid of it is to cut it to the ground and let a new shoot come out.
Okay.
And so that's a possibility to do that in the fall, probably, you know.
Well, the energy of the plant is going into the roots anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Great.
Yeah. Anyways, all these fun little interesting things.
Sure. Okay. And so is that it for
this
morning?
That's it for today.
All right, great. Well, again, as you well know, we are all very grateful and appreciative for your time and willingness to share your knowledge so openly.
All right, well,
so thank you. And I want to remind our listeners that you can call in at 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now, or you can check out on the website. There is a page for As the Worm Turns and a commentary at the bottom of the page. All of these interviews have been recorded beginning this season, and so you can also go back and look up information if there's things that you're curious about. But there's also a comment portion there, and you can leave your questions there for Lance, and we will get to them the next time we talk to him, which will be next Monday.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.